True Education, Chapter 21, Study of Physiology. Since the mind and the soul find expression through the body, both mental and spiritual vigor are in great degree dependent on physical strength and activity. Whatever promotes physical health promotes the development of a strong mind and a well-balanced character. Without health, no one can as distinctly understand or as completely fulfill his or her obligations to oneself, to other persons, or to the Creator. Therefore, the health should be as faithfully guarded as the character. A knowledge of physiology and hygiene should be the basis of all educational effort. Though the facts of physiology are now generally understood, there is an alarming indifference in regard to the principles of health. Even of those who have a knowledge of these principles, few put them into practice. The youth, in the freshness and vigor of life, little realize the value of their abounding energy. A treasure more precious than gold, more essential to advancement than learning or rank or riches, how lightly it is held, how rashly squandered. Many men and women, sacrificing health in the struggle for riches or power, have almost reached the object of their desire, only to fall helpless, while others, possessing superior physical endurance, grasp the longed-for prize. Through morbid conditions, the result of neglecting the laws of health, many have been led into evil practices, to the sacrifice of every hope for this world and the next. In the study of physiology, pupils should be led to see the value of physical energy and how it can be preserved and developed to contribute in the highest degree to success in life's great struggle. Teach children to live healthfully. Children should be taught in simple, easy lessons the rudiments of physiology and hygiene. The work should be begun by the mother in the home and should be faithfully carried forward in the school. As the students advance in years, instruction in this line should be continued until they are qualified to care for the house they live in. They should understand the importance of guarding against disease by preserving the vigor of every organ. They also should be taught how to deal with common diseases and accidents. Every school should give instruction in both physiology and hygiene. There are matters not usually included in the study of physiology that should be considered, matters of far greater value to the student than many of the technicalities commonly taught under this subject. As the foundation principle of all education in these lines, the young should be taught that the laws of nature are the laws of God, as truly divine as are the precepts of the Decalogue. God has written on every nerve, muscle, and fiber of the body the laws that govern our physical organism. Every careless or willful violation of these laws is a sin against our Creator. The influence of the mind on the body, as well as of the body on the mind, should be emphasized. The electric power of the brain, promoted by mental activity, vitalizes the whole system, and is thus an invaluable aid in resisting disease. This should be made plain. The power of the will and the importance of self-control, both in the preservation and in the recovery of health, should be emphasized. Likewise, the depressing and even ruinous effect of anger, discontent, selfishness, or impurity should be shown. On the other hand, the marvelous life-giving power to be found in cheerfulness, unselfishness, and gratitude should be emphasized. There is a physiological truth in the scripture. A merry heart does good like medicine. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. As the mechanism of the body is studied, attention should be directed to its wonderful adaptation of means to ends, the harmonious action and dependence of the various organs. As the interest of the students is thus awakened, and they are led to see the importance of physical culture, much can be done by the teacher to secure proper development and right habits. Correct posture and respiration. Among the first things to be aimed at should be a correct position, both in sitting and in standing. God made humans upright, and He desires them to possess not only the physical but the mental and moral benefit, the grace and dignity and self-possession, the courage and self-reliance, that an erect bearing greatly tends to promote. Let the teacher give instruction on this point by example and precept. Show what a correct position is, and insist that it be maintained. Next, in importance to right position are respiration and vocal culture. The one who sits and stands erect is more likely than others to breathe properly. But the teacher should impress upon students the importance of deep breathing. Show how the healthy action of the respiratory organs, assisting the circulation of the blood, invigorates the whole system, excites the appetite, promotes digestion, and induces sound, sweet sleep. This not only refreshes the body, but soothes and tranquilizes the mind. Let exercise in deep breathing be given, and see that the habit becomes established. The training of the voice has an important place in the physical development, since it tends to expand and strengthen the lungs, and thus to ward off disease. To ensure correct delivery in reading and speaking, see that the abdominal muscles have full play in breathing, and that the respiratory organs are unrestricted. Let the strain come on the muscles of the abdomen rather than on those of the throat. Great weariness and serious disease of the throat and lungs may thus be prevented. Careful attention should be given to securing distinct articulation, smooth, well-modulated tones, and a not too rapid delivery. This will not only promote health, but will add greatly to the agreeableness and efficiency of the student's work. In the study of hygiene, the earnest teacher will improve every opportunity to show the necessity of perfect cleanliness, both in personal habits and in one's surroundings. The value of a daily bath in promoting health and in stimulating mental action should be emphasized. Attention should be given also to sunlight and ventilation, the hygiene of the sleeping room and the kitchen. Teach students that a healthful sleeping room, a thoroughly clean kitchen, and a tastefully arranged, wholesomely supplied table will go further towards securing the happiness of the family than any amount of expensive furnishings. That life is more than food and the body is more than clothing, Luke chapter 12, verse 23, is a lesson no less needed now than when first given by the divine teacher. The student of physiology should be taught that the object of study is not merely to gain a knowledge of facts and principles. This alone will prove of little benefit. We may understand the importance of ventilation. Our room may be supplied with pure air, but unless we fill our lungs properly, we will suffer the results of poor respiration. The great requisite in teaching these principles is to impress students with their importance so that they will conscientiously put them into practice. Let students be impressed with the thought that the body is a temple in which God desires to dwell, that it must be kept pure, the abiding place of high and noble thoughts. As they study physiology and see that they are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139, verse 14, they will be inspired with reverence. Instead of marring God's handiwork, they will have an ambition to make all that is possible of themselves in order to fulfill the Creator's glorious plan. Thus they will come to regard obedience to the laws of health not as a matter of sacrifice or self-denial, but as it really is, an inestimable privilege and blessing.